All right, we're getting into 1 Corinthians again this evening, chapter 15. And where we left off was the 19th verse. And just a little recap from where we had been in the past, really maybe even few weeks, is the 14th chapter brought us the gifts of the Spirit. And we understand that in that wondrous chapter, the Lord was really bringing out the church, speaking of the whole body of Christ, to edify, as the brother just spoke of here, that's spiritual growth, edifying the one another. And what a precious privilege it is to be a beacon of the love of God, to have people know that you love Jesus. Because why? Because of our love for one another. The Word of God said that that's how they knew that they were Christians. And it was precious that God had given that them, and I believe that, again, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the one thing I so appreciate about the Word of God is it never grows old. It's always right on time. It's always up to date, beyond, and never needs to be taken away or added to. It's perfect and complete. But I want you to think about that as we get into the study this evening, is that it's really been speaking of the body, about the church. We left off last study speaking of the resurrection, how there were the Gnostics that came in. These were the Greek philosophers that were there, and they were trying to get these believers to doubt the resurrection. And they would compromise and say, okay, well, maybe Christ was resurrected, but nobody else is going to be. But as we read, it was, well, let me tell you something. It's all or nothing. You've got to have the body with the head. And as we know in the Word of God, He's our head, praise the Lord. And He's got a wonderful body. And it's made up of every single believer by the grace of God throughout all of these ages and ages past. So wonderful that that the Lord knows. And it was proven, again, that He had risen, whether it was from the sightings, but most importantly, it was God's Word. And it was fulfilled, and it is. And tonight we're going on in this 20th verse, after all of those, in a sense, questions were asked about if he didn't rise, what would have happened. Thank God we know, as it says here in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And notice, brothers and sisters, it's now. And I really am encouraged to express that better be a reality to us now. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is no longer on that cross. Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave. He is risen. He is at the right hand of God. The enemy tried everything he could do to keep him off of that cross. The enemy tried to do anything and everything that he could do to keep him in that grave. But it wasn't going to happen because God's word was that after 3 days he was going to rise. And when he rose, praise God, that resurrection began. And the first fruits were received because that's our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that, we know that we have this victory in Christ because he has risen. He is risen for us. As he said to Lazarus there, I should say, as he said to those about Lazarus, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, nothing's hard for God. People try to think, well, this resurrection stuff, bringing something back from the dead has got to be hard. Look, he made you. And I was thinking about even life itself. I was thinking about, I have all these little nephews and nieces popping up on the scene. And so I was thinking about little babies and how they develop and how wonderful and how amazing that is. I mean, this is God we're talking about, and nothing's hard for Him. And really, I think one of the least hard things in a lot of ways to me is to bring something back from life. He just speaks and it's so. Praise God. That's our Lord. And so again here it says, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now this first fruits is important. You'll find this in Leviticus 23:10. And what this speaks of is the full harvest. When they would harvest their crops, it couldn't begin until the first fruits. They would have this picking of these first fruits were brought to the priests and they were offered to the Lord. So this was not only the first, but it was the first installment, if you want to think of it that way. Christ became the first fruit at the moment of the resurrection or his resurrection. So wonderful that this has happened, and we understand that he is the first fruits of them that slept. And as we understood from last lesson, this is a one package operation. The head doesn't go without the body. It's all going to be there. And in a sense, we have to understand what the Word of God says. It says, we are seated together with him in the heavens in Christ now. That's our place. We are there with him. Now, there will be this resurrected body, which we'll talk about. But again, we are not as good as there. We are there. We are there in all intents and purposes. We are seated with him now. Now, by the grace of God, we're going through this life. And it's not based on judgment, am I going to heaven or hell? Oh, no, by the grace of God, that was taken care of when I accepted him as Savior. Now it's based upon he's coming and his reward is with him. What type of reward am I wanting to receive? And the reward a lot of people, again, will think of is something, a prize of a medal or a trophy or the things of that nature. No, it's to win Christ. It's to win him as bridegroom. And we understand that the Lord says that he will have that wonderful, we have this crown, and praise God that we will have it before him that day. In the 21st verse going on. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now this is bringing in this thought of this resurrection, and I'll go ahead and read the 22nd verse as well. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 29. That's John chapter 5, verse 29. And we're going to talk about some things tonight, and I want us to make sure we keep everything in context. Again, that in this section, he is speaking of the body being resurrected, meaning the whole body of Christ that will be resurrection. And the resurrection obviously began with the first fruit. That was Christ that was taken up. At the time of Christ being taken up, there were also many graves open. We'll read about that at the same time tonight as well, too. So that resurrection has even begun then and is continuing in a sense and will continue throughout till the end of the millennium. But let's talk about this resurrection, or this first resurrection, to be more precise, because there are two resurrections that will occur. Raptures are different than resurrections. We understand that Christ can call those up like he did with whether it was Enoch or Elijah. Those were raptured saints. There will be different raptures as far as the Lord taking different groups with him into heaven. But this is the actual resurrection, the bodies that we're talking about here. And in the John 5, verse 28, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good or accepted Christ as Savior unto the resurrection of life. That's the first resurrection, which we're addressing this evening. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, or which is also known as the second death. Let's turn over to continue on with this thought to the book of Revelation. And let's go into the fourth verse. And hopefully this continues to become more clear about this resurrection. And it says there, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now John is seeing basically all these believers throughout time that are up in heaven, and they're reigning with Christ in some way, shape, or form. And it goes on to say, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now these next ones that were not beheaded, and again, I'm not trying to give you a study on Revelation, but if you go back and you remember our Revelation study, these were the ones that accepted Christ or believed in Christ during the tribulation and even into the great tribulation, that suffered greatly because obviously it took them time, or they went in through this tribulation time. But again, the grace was still sufficient to save, and they came out of this. But you'll notice it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Jesus Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years at the end of that tribulation. The millennium starts, and he will be handed the throne by his Father, and he will rule for that 1,000-year period of time. Now let's go on. But the rest of the dead. Now again, we understand that in the fourth verse, all of the believers have been resurrected. They're all with Christ. The body is with him. But the rest of the dead now live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So in the first resurrection, those are believers. Those are the believers that believe in Christ from the beginning until all the way through the end of the tribulation. So maybe, I shouldn't say maybe, but the first one obviously would be Adam. All right, then verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And the reason they say blessed and holy, that's just saved people. You're blessed and you're holy because you've accepted Christ as Savior. So again, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So again, the Word of God says it's appointed unto men once to die. Now, this second death here is speaking of those that do not accept Christ as Savior, and they will face a second death. And that death will be forever. That's the lake of fire. That's what that is prepared for, and that is where the enemy, Satan, will be, as well as all of the ones throughout time that have not accepted Christ as Lord. So let's go back now to the 21st verse, and let's try to put all of this together. Because it says, for since by man, and again, man chose this, that chose that sin. And again, this is Adam who had sinned, and that was the fall. Came death, but yet by man, meaning Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. Again, this is the believing dead. This is the dead that will be partakers of the first resurrection. And then 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ. And this is so important. In Christ shall all be made alive. You have to be in Christ to be alive. You have to be a believer to be alive. You are dead until you accept Christ. And then it's interesting because Galatians 2:20 tells us, I am crucified with Christ. But yet, nevertheless, I live. But now we know that it's because Christ lives in us. So this is that life that we have taken on. It is the very incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ himself that lives in us. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. A lot of verses here, but I really believe, especially tonight in this study, it's the Word of God, the line upon line, precept upon precept, that proves itself and I think is the best explanation of this Word. So again, in chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. That was Adam. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And again, in Psalm 51:5, it says that we've been even born in iniquity. We were born in sin. Brother David knew that as well, too. Now let's go over to the book of Ephesians, and let's go over to chapter 2. And let's continue this same thought of that we were all dead in this sin. But here's our wonderful Lord. And you hath he quickened. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And this is important to understand that the prince of the power of the air right now, the one who is ruling this earth at this time, it's not Christ. It is Satan. This is Satan's time. He has been allowed to come and to control and rule in a sense. Now, yes, God still has him on a chain, but this will, I believe, satisfy and maybe solve some confusion where we'll talk about the kingdom age tonight. I think there's a lot of things to be introduced tonight within this passage by the grace of God. So it goes on to say here, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is every single one of us, brothers and sisters. This is every single one. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short. Okay? If we're ever going to get anywhere with God, we have to understand this. And we have to understand that this is something that we see throughout all of our lives, is that it is grace and grace alone that brings us on. We cannot merit anything of ourselves to God. It has to be Christ working in me. It has to be Christ living in me. That's the grace of God. God is so omnipotent and so great. If you really think about it, why would I want to be able to bring anything naturally before God? Because everything I've ever seen of man anyways, no matter how long or good it seems to last, it ends. And I'm not believing in something that's ever going to end. It's only going to increase and get better. By the grace of God, He's convinced my heart that, son, I do have a promise, and my promises are yea and amen, and they're for you. And by the grace of God, they become alive. The blessings are all there. I'm starting to really find this out. It's exciting. When He told me that I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, He really meant it. They're really there. The only thing that's not allowing me to see them is my unbelief. Isn't that wonderful? And it's so true. They're there and they're alive for you. Every single thing. I was talking to a sister and I said, you know, the Lord had put on my heart is that, yes, He is. He is all these things. And we can just say, well, He is. But you know, He is Savior. But until He becomes my Savior, it didn't affect me. You see? He's the God of all comfort. I understand that He is. But until He becomes my comforter, it's never going to affect me. Do you see? He has to be mine. He's mine. And these promises are mine. And He sees me individually. And He sees you individually. And by the grace of God, we come boldly into that throne room. And I say, oh, my Father. Praise God. I get hair standing up on my arms. That's my Father. And sitting right next to Him is the love of my life. And I say, thank You for that wonderful Son. Let's commune together. I've got needs. But they're all met in that wonderful Lamb that's sitting next to you. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for this. Oh, hallelujah, how He just continues to open it up. But God, verse 4, here it goes. But God, isn't that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. All the time we could talk about all these different things. But God. Well, I'm facing death. But God. I don't have a job. But God. Huh? But God. People, we have got to believe this. This is the great I Am we're talking about. And He's concerned with you. Yes, He is. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and we all were there, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Ye are saved. Isn't that wonderful? So see, He's quickened us together with Christ, but there's only one way we're ever going to be quickened with Him, being in Christ or being saved, and we're only saved one way, and that's by grace. See how perfectly, again, it fits. You cannot distort, I should say, you can try. But if you will go with the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to open up, you can't distort it. It's too perfect. The Word of God does not contradict itself. And we're going to find Hopefully we'll get to these things tonight, but we're going to find a lot of wonderful things out here, I believe, as the Lord will continue to reveal this to us. So even when we are dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're seated there, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. It's all in Christ. What a promise that we have, all in Christ. And here it goes back again, brothers and sisters. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, how much clearer does it have to get? How much clearer could it be? Shame on these religions that continue to tell us that there's something that I could do. There's something that I could merit. There's something I have to keep. As we rejoiced in Sunday, those promises are His. And He said that nothing can separate me from the love of God. He promised me that I'm in His hand, and His hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. I feel pretty safe in that. I don't know about you, but I know He's on our side, and praise God in Him. Praise God in Him. So, we see, going back to the 22nd verse of the 15th chapter, for as in Adam all die, you are dead, but so in Christ shall all be made alive. All right, going on to verse 23. But every man, so see, He didn't just leave it there, and that would have been great in itself. That we're alive in Christ. That's a wonderful gift. Salvation's a beautiful thing. To be resurrected, to be with Him, is a glorious thing. To be seated in the heavens in Christ, how could I really even explain that? But then again, we're dealing with the God that's exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And He's offering us to be joint heirs with Christ. That's the exciting part of this. An heir of God, oh yes. But a joint heir. If I'll be willing to suffer together with Him, I will also be glorified together with Him. Wow. I was having trouble grasping just to be seated. And He's offering to make them know that He has loved me. That's something. All right. But every man, and this is man in Christ, remember that. This isn't just every man. A lot of people try to turn this around. Well, see, everybody's going to heaven, and everybody's going to have a chance, and everybody's going to have a second chance and a third chance. Everybody does have a chance. Absolutely. His will is that all men be saved. But we know that it's not going to happen. It's just not. Because there's going to be ones that deny Him. They have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. We're surrounded with such a great cloud of witness, but yet the man in men today, as the Word of God says, the wickedness is just increasing. Absolutely increasing. And it's increasing at an increasing rate in all of the things that's going on. And it's a tragedy. But every man in Christ, in his own order. Now, that's such a wonderful thing. See, over here in the 41st verse of this chapter, we're going to see that there is one glory of the sun, there's a glory of the moon, there's another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Okay? Now look, I am not going to heaven to try to be a big shot. If you're going to heaven to be a big shot, I'm going to tell you, the first is going to be last. All right? I'm going to tell you that. The Word of God tells us that. I'm going to heaven because I love Jesus. That's why I'm going to heaven. Most importantly, because He loved me first, but I responded to that love. And what's happening right now in the age that we're at, and the age that we're in, is He's allowing us to come into a love with Him as a love of a man and woman that will be in wedlock. The bride maketh herself ready. And she does. And she's going to be ready. She's the one that loves His appearing, that's going to be looking for Him. And He'll appear the second time. It's going to be a wonderful thing. But here is what it's telling us, that every one of these ones that will be resurrected are going to be in their own order. They're going to have an order. There's going to be a rank. There are ranks in the resurrection. This isn't something I'm making. It's all throughout the Word of God. What does one star differeth from another in glory? So also is the resurrection of the dead. What else could that mean to you? Let's fit it in with all of the scriptures, and we understand that yes, there are going to be four living ones, and they are in the very midst of the throne, and they are like the lion, they are like the man, they are like the servant, the ox, and they are like the eagle. And that's exactly what Christ is typified in those Gospels. So they're going to be the most Christ-like that will be there. Then there'll be the ones that are seated, or I should say are standing before the throne. And they have palms in their hand. So again, all of this fits together. It shows us that yes, there will be those that will be in the wedding party. There will be guests. But then also there will be a bride. I was rejoicing with a sister today that was just so, again, taken in spirit. The last wedding that we had, my niece's wedding, how she really had such a vision of that bridal day when Christ Jesus will take His bride. She could see it. She said, I could see that the Old Testament worthies there, inviting everybody in. But only she was the bride. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. What a wonderful truth. All right. So every man in his own order. And I want to bring out, the Lord brought this to me to look up this word own. Because I was thinking, wow, this is something. This is so personal here. And this word own means sincerity. So if you really think of sincerity, every man in his sincerity order. I think that's very well fitting. How sincere are you with Christ? Because that is going to be the difference of what order you're going to go. Are you sincere with Him? Are you sincerely in love with Him? The other word is truly. Being truly in love with Jesus Christ. What a wonder in all of these words. We could never exhaust it, but I'm so thankful as that little peel keeps coming off layer by layer, just a little bit more deeply into His love. All right. So Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at His coming. And who are Christ's? I think about John 10. His sheep know His voice. See, those are His sheep. The other sheep, they don't know His voice. They're not His. Nope. They're led. They go wherever they want to go. They don't hear His voice because they're His sheep. So again, these are His, they that are Christ at His coming. And again, this resurrection, as we know and as we've read, is assured unto us. I want you to think as well to turn over to Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. Now this was the time that Jesus Christ was resurrected. So wonderful. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So there was that starting of that resurrection even right then. Isn't that precious? And a lot of people say, well, who were these graves that were opened at this time? And you'll notice here, when Christ ascended up on high, it didn't say all of the saints which slept arose. It says, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So right there is even another type and sign. Do you think that those were the Old Testament overcomers? What do you think? Absolutely they were. Who do you think those 24 elders are up there? Huh? Right now. Right now as we speak. See, the Word of God is perfect. That's why we have to know this. That's why by the grace of God, if you really study out those 24 elders, they are not the bride. The four living ones are the bride, absolutely. But the 24 elders are not. We've studied that in Revelation. I know that there's some confusion with that, with different ones. But if you'll settle in with truly with the Word of God, you'll see it very clearly. It doesn't fit any other way. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, first of all. It was a gift after Pentecost. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. All right, let's continue on. So, it said, many of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto him. And notice it says after his resurrection, because he's the first fruits. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. See, it was that specific to say, well, they didn't go up there at the same time. Oh, no. After his. Okay? It's perfect down to the detail. Okay, going on. You can see I get a little excited about this. And I just pray that the Lord constrain me. And it is just absolutely overwhelming. I'm so thankful what he is doing. All right, verse 24. Then cometh the end. All right? So we understand here that we're talking about this end or after the 1,000 years, after the millennium. And we'll explain a little bit more further here. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Okay? For he, this is Christ, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now, we had already read there in Revelation, remember when we went over to and read earlier, that he is reigning and he reigns for 1,000 years. And then he gives that back to his Father. All right? So again, he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You'll read that in Revelation 20:10. And that is at the end of the millennium. That's the end of that 1,000 years. And that's when death, that's when Satan, that's when all of that stuff is put into the lake of fire and it's over. It's complete. It's done. All right? So that's the last enemy. All right? For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. This means that God's omitted from this. He puts everything under, but God is still God, which did put all things under him or under Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him. So again, he's subject unto God that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So we're talking about this 1,000-year period of reigning. So we understand here by this scripture, and this is a wonderful thing to really grasp, is that Christ Jesus does not take that throne and everything is put under him till the millennium begins, till after the tribulation. At this time, everything has not been put under him. And with that thought, I do want to take the liberty to go to Matthew 28:16. We hear, brothers and sisters, about how people talk about the Great Commission at this time. That we're to go out into all the different places in the world and preach the word to every living creature, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we sit here and go, oh no, that doesn't sound right. And it doesn't sound right because it's not right. It's not for this time yet. And I want us to read this and I think we can glean something from this. So let's go to the 28th chapter, the 16th verse. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, wait a second. Is Jesus Christ talking about that time at that moment? Or is he speaking of a future time when God in his word says, all power, everything will be subject to him? It's at that time. So see, he is speaking of the kingdom age. He is speaking of that 1,000-year period of time in this chapter. All right? Now, we are to witness. We want to be a beacon of light. But the Great Commission today is he's searching for a goodly pearl. The Great Commission for today is the bride who makes herself ready. That's the Great Commission today. And I hope we understand that. I pray for people everywhere. I'm thankful that people give to their hearts to the Lord, whatever country it may be. But just like Paul said, I wasn't sent to baptize. And that meant, sure, people would be saved by his preaching. That was fine. But that wasn't the intent of Paul. Paul came to preach the mystery of Christ, the very bride that Jesus Christ is going to take someday. And for that people that will attune to that message, that they would be ready to meet the Lord in the air. All right? So again, it goes on to say there in that 18th verse, and Jesus came, 19th verse, or 18th verse, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So we know this isn't now. We just read all through this. It's given to him at the beginning of the millennium. That's when he will have this power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, because I'd like to finish this thought. I believe the Lord's put this on my heart for us to share. So this is Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. This is the same basic thought of this great commission here. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now we understand that this is something that we even understand at this time now. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now again, this picking up the deadly serpents and those types of things, if you go into Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, you'll understand that that's a time when the lion will lay down with the lamb, and when the child will be able to play with the poisonous snake, and it won't bother him as well either. Know the Word of God. By the grace of God, may we embrace it. That's why we won't be confused. We will rightfully divide when we're understanding what the Word of God is speaking of. And at this time, as we read through this reigning of Christ, it's going to be at that 1,000-year period time. All right? Okay. So we understand this by His grace, that He must reign till He put all enemies under His feet. And it is going to be a wonderful time. Let's go on to verse number 29 now. Getting back into 1 Corinthians 15, 29. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of deep things in this 15th chapter. And a lot of people seem to try to get over the 15th chapter, do a speed read version, and we'll go to the 16th chapter. But, you know, the Word of God, we need to go line upon line, precept upon precept. And if some of this stuff seems to be a little bit hard to be understood, you know what? Let's just pray. If you have questions, I appreciate call. And there's others in this assembly. There are men and women that really do know the Word of God. Don't be ashamed to ask. I'm telling you, if there's ever something that you're confused on, this is something not to be. There is no, in a sense, yeah, there are abstain from foolish questions. I will go that far. And yes, I do get my share of them. But when it's really sincerely trying to find out about the Word of God and what it means, brothers and sisters, go get it. Don't let it sit. Go get it. And go find those that really, truly can rightfully divide the word of truth. All right, 29th verse. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, if you just read that verse by itself and you didn't read anything else, you'd be going, what in the world? Baptized for the dead? Now, I understand that there's certain religions that do that, but is that really effective? Well, the very first thing I say, and I think of when I read this, is I think about that eunuch in Acts 8. Okay? There was a story about this man. And he was traveling there, and he said, I want to be baptized. So he called, and he said to the one that was witnessing to him, he said, what prevents me from being baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You have to believe to be baptized. Baptism, brothers and sisters, as we know, is basically our showing, our revealing that we know and are acknowledging publicly that we have died with Him, we're accepting one in death with Him, and we have been raised together. All right? Baptism in itself, brothers and sisters, if you have not accepted Christ as Savior and you get in that tank, you'll go in a sinner and you'll come out a sinner. You must believe. Water is water. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't. All right? Only His cleansing blood can cleanse you. And we know that. And we need to really know these things. The blood is what cleanses us. And it was just like, well, people said, well, you have to be baptized to go to heaven. And I said, well, what about that thief upon the cross? Well, they get off the cross and they go get baptized. And then they got back. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it, but come on. You must be born again. You must be born again. Now, in that, we understand that verse 29 could in no way mean what a lot of people try to take it out to mean. Remember, when we study the Word of God, we need to know who is speaking, who's being spoken to, and what's being spoken about. And that's why we started out tonight thinking about the 14th chapter, the gifts of the Spirit. It's about the church. We've just went through the beginning of the 15th chapter, and what is it about? It's about the resurrection. It's about the resurrected church. The whole body is what it's talking about. And furthermore, brothers and sisters, if you really go in and study this, and I appreciate the Lord bringing this out, the word "for," where it says, "which are baptized for the dead," it should be "as the dead." If you go and study the Greek in that, it really is best translated "as the dead." And it really does make sense. And I'm not trying to change words. I don't need to change even any of those words to make it clear. But truly, it is better translated "as the dead," as those that Christians that have went before us. If what this is saying, if there is no resurrection, then why do I need to be baptized? It's the truth. If there's no resurrection, just like Paul said, we are of all men most miserable. Remember we read that? We have believed in vain. We're the most foolish people in the world. It's the truth. Even though I still tell people, well, I guess if I'm wrong, I sure lived a lot happier life than you did. But see, I know whom I believed. It just is. And in the small possibility, I tell them I'm right. Boy, are you in trouble, and I feel sorry for you. It's the truth. Yeah. Amen. It all points to Him. It's revealed. It's just... what a wonder how anybody couldn't believe in a lot of ways. All right. But else, what else? What else? What shall they do which are baptized as the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized as the dead? Romans 6:5. Let's read that together. This will shed some light on it as well. Romans 6:5. It says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death." Okay? That means when I'm a believer, I have been planted together in the likeness of His death. And that's what that baptism represents back there. When we go, we have died. We're crucified with Christ, all right? But we come out of the water, thank the Lord. We've been raised with Him too. We didn't just stay down there. I know some of the kids panic once in a while, but nope, they bring Him back out. And we're raised together with Him, seated together with Him. How marvelous. So we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. We're going to be like Him. When we see Him, we're going to be like Him. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We're going to have a body like unto His own glorious body. That's what's so beautiful. There's times this body gets so tired. This last Sunday, I just felt like it was going to scatter to pieces. Almost felt like that most of the week this week and a lot of times. But He's going to give me a body that can fully appreciate that glory. That's why I'm going to need that body. Because when I experience the exceeding riches of His grace. Isn't that going to be awesome? Oh my. Praise the Lord. All right. So again, it goes on to say, what shall they do? Or the ones that have been planted in death with Him. Okay. That are baptized as the dead. All right. If the dead rise not. So if the body's not going with the head. Come on. That body's got to go with the head. All right. Why are they then baptized as the dead? So we're baptized with the church. This is speaking of the whole church, brothers and sisters. We're baptized as that. We're baptized, in a sense, together as believers in this body. And this body of believers, it's died with Him, and it's going to be raised with Him. Praise the Lord. All right? So that's all this is saying. So don't let that confuse you. We've got religions today that say, well, we better come in here and baptize for the dead, and it costs you this much money to do it. Sorry. Or... it's like this big scheme that we have. Well, you got to come in here and baptize and all that. But see, that's making God's word merchandise. And it is. is trying to put something over people. You have nothing over you except the blood of Christ, and in that, you're free. You're free. All right? This religion, this organization, you cast it off. We're a living organism in Him. And it's true. Praise God. I'm free. I'm free in Him. So it says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? So basically, if there's no resurrection, why believe? True. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Let me tell you something. The resurrection is real, Paul's saying here. It's absolutely real. And I die daily because of it. And I think of sweet brother Ron, in a sense, physically that body's gone. But I'm telling you, he's increasing at an increasing rate. He's more alive than he's ever been. And he knows it. And it's sweet to watch. Now, I don't know what God's going to do there. Just like with Brother Hill. I could see that body, it was going away. But it was increasing at an increasing rate. So precious. All right. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. This is Paul speaking. This is Acts 19, 23 through 34, where he fought with basically spiritual forces. What advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Well, why did I even do this? I must have been nuts. Why was I fighting in the good fight of faith and standing in defense of the gospel in front of these beasts? And so precious about Ephesus. And I think this is a wonderful thing that Brother Copley brings out. The book of Ephesians, we understand, is the high water mark of the Word of God. Absolutely. Bringing in the very mystery of Christ. Hallelujah. Goes on in Colossians, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Absolute glory. You're never going to get there unless you fight with the spiritual forces. And once you arrive there in Ephesus, that's when you'll fight these forces. They're going to be there. It's a fact. The Word of God tells us this. It's not going to be the lotus land of ease. There's going to be times when you're going to lose your job. There's going to be times when you're going to have things in your body. Now, naturally speaking, a lot of people go through these things, but there's a purpose in it when you're a child of God. Isn't that wonderful to know? There's purpose in everything that happens to you. Absolute purpose. And you're going to have this fight as you move into that. So he says here, then why did I do this? Let us eat, drink, and be for tomorrow we die. That was Isaiah 22:13. It was taken from there. That was the quote of the hopeless heathen. That's the way I put that one. Let's just drink and die tomorrow. Okay. There's nothing there. Could you imagine living like that? And I know people that live like that. Don't want to believe. Well, I'll get all the gusto I can now because I'm going to, thinking, oh my. Sad, sad, sad. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. See, there were these ones, and this is what was going on at this time. There were these Greek philosophers, and they were trying to get in there and corrupt these ones. They were trying to get in there and distort the truth. They were trying to get in there and cause doubt. They were trying to get in there and, again, corrupt the things that they were given by Brother Paul. And here's what it says. Evil communications corrupt good manners. These are false teachers, is what this was. And brothers and sisters, I think of this as bad company. Don't keep bad company. Don't listen to bad company. Brother Hill used to say it this way. Don't go getting your meal out of a garbage can. Oh, well, he's an eloquent preacher. Well, he might be an eloquent preacher, but he might be preaching air. Beware. The enemy's subtle. Comes in a lot of packages. I appreciate however Christ is preached. I there and do rejoice. But it stops once Christ stops being preached. And when people get up there and tell me I can lose my salvation, when people get up there and tell me that being filled with the Holy Spirit is the same thing as being saved, when people tell me that there's just going to be one rapture, when people tell me that the bride of Christ is the whole church, you're being robbed. If you're listening to that, you're being robbed. And you can say, well, I'm going to pick this out and I'm going to choose this and I know the Word of God well enough. Let me tell you something. You have enough of the Word of God in its sincerity and its truth. Stay with it. Be satisfied. I'm not just trying to keep you in this meeting. I'm really not. I just want to keep you by the grace of God in the Word of God. And if you're in love with the Word of God, I believe the Lord will give it to you. I believe by His grace we've surrendered ourselves to this in this meeting to truly go after His truth and love, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not trying to promote anything else. We don't want to build any more buildings unless God would want that. And you know what? I don't think God's ever told us that. All He wants us to do is to be ready. And that's what this is about, is to be ready. It's going to be a glorious moment. And it's real. The Word of God is always true. Every single thing that He said would be is coming. And as Brother Smith was rejoicing in the car the other day, he was so sick, he said, can you imagine, brother? It's all already happened. He could come at any time. All the signs are here. So praise be to God that He's awake to that. And I want to be too. So again, we don't want to be corrupted by that. In verse 34, we'll close with this. Awake. I sense in my heart a little bit we're just lulling just a little bit, brothers and sisters. I just think we're getting a little tired. I do. Not just tonight because you had a long day. Spiritually, there's a fight going on. All right, it's a good fight. Good fight. Amen. But He's telling us here, awake to righteousness. That's who we are, praise God. And sin not, for some have not this knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Basically, you have the truth. Now believe it, live it. I want to close with Romans chapter 13. Turn there. And we'll read from verse 11. Think of that word, awake. And that knowing the time. Do you know the time? Not that it's, you know, getting on 8:20 and boy, we've been here a long time. No. The time. You know the time? That now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, what salvation do you think He's talking about? Oh, yes. See, isn't that wonderful? Being completely saved. I love that, utterly saved. I know I'm saved. And people say, well, what do you mean about that? I'm talking about being spared the tribulation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's what I'm looking for. That's the ultimate salvation I think of. Praise God. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Young people, I have to say, I know that there's some darkness going around. There's some darkness going on. Cast it off. Flee it. All of us. But I got a burden. And you got a choice. You'll smell like sin if you hang around sin. You'll begin to look like sin when you dwell with sin. And you'll regret it. You will. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering, meaning judgment and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. Pretty much sums it all up, doesn't it, one way or another? For all of us. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I hope you've enjoyed it. I pray God that He encourages our hearts in it. I just have a real, as I was speaking with the sister, just a sense of urgency, brothers and sisters. We need to awake. We need to get our eyes on Jesus and Him alone. He's coming. And not in fear to remain here. That's not what this is about. This is in love with who loves you. In love with who loves you. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You again for this time. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. And Lord, help us to just break up the fallow ground. Help us to really seek You. Help us to be attentive, Lord God. Don't let us neglect so great salvation that's upon us. It is nearer than when we ever believed. You're coming. Oh, You're coming. And may it be this evening, Lord. And if not, as I rest my head, it'll be just as good as if You didn't, because I was looking for my Lord and Savior. What a wonder. What a precious promise. We thank You for everything. We thank You for these lives tonight. I appreciate my brothers and sisters. I am so encouraged to see Your work in them, Lord. I'm thankful that You're calling them and causing them to want to come. That there is a need and it's a privilege to come. And it is such a wonderful opportunity to come. And to hear the Word of God. And to be around brothers and sisters of like faith. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, praise God, as we see that day approaching. Oh, Jesus, in Your name we say thank You, thank You, thank You. Amen.